So this is all about connecting over coffee. And so I don't know, does everybody have your coffee? I have mine. Or whatever it is that you have. So we're all about just making connections and building relationships. And I don't see Ruth on with us yet today. I don't know if she's going to get a chance to jump on or not, but we were getting together for a while on Clubhouse. And I don't know if any of you've been on the Clubhouse app on your phone. It's really kind of fun. It's audio only, so you don't have to worry about what you look like. And so I could jump on Clubhouse often, still in my PJs, which was kind of nice. And but here you can turn your camera off. You don't have to have your camera on if you don't want to have it on. It's up to you. Now we've got a couple of gals in the waiting room, and I have clicked the button for them to come up. Jennifer has declined to be promoted. Jennifer, I am still going to click the button for you to chat. That way, you can just unmute if you want to talk. And if you decide you want to come up so we can see you, just let me know and I can click you through. So anyway, we were getting together on Clubhouse, and it was just a way to make friends and make some connections. But I wanted to give you an overarching goal for the group. And so one of the things that I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about networking and communicating and connecting. And so oftentimes when somebody comes up to you and they ask you, "Oh, what is it that you do?" We're not sure exactly how to answer that. I mean, we all have, we're thinking, well, what do they mean? Is it what I do personally? Is it what I do professionally? Is, like, where is all of this going? And so it's nice to be able to rehearse that a little bit ahead of time so that when you get into a group like this and we go around and everybody gets to tell a little bit about themselves, you get to ha feel comfortable and confident, there's Ruth, into what it is that you want to say. And so, for example, you can see in my little Hollywood square here, mine says that I'm a passive income mentor. And what that means is that I help folks learn how to create passive income so they can make their day job optional. So you see how that fast little quick sentence not only helps people identify who I am, but that one single sentence speaks volumes when I'm meeting someone for the first time. So if I'm meeting someone at a social event and they go, what is it that you do? Because I don't know why, but that seems to be a question that everybody asks. And we're so identified with what we do that, I'm an attorney or I'm a doctor or I'm an insurance agent or I'm a realtor or, we always seem to put that out there. And all of a sudden, it allows the person that we're talking to have this image on whatever their connections are, to have this image of who we are. And sometimes that's right, and sometimes the image is wrong. You never know. It's just different. And so what happens when you get to rehearse that a little bit, you can actually kind of set the stage on identifying yourself better for the folks that you're talking with. So for example, when I say that I'm a passive income mentor, what that does by saying that is the word mentor automatically makes people think more that I'm kind of out there sharing and giving and helping. If I say I'm a passive income coach, they go, oh, she's probably got some big coaching program that's going to cost like $8,000. And so you're looking for a way to kind of slide away from me, they're like, uh-oh, she's gonna sell me something. Let me get away from her. And so you can, by the words that you choose, you can set the stage on how you want people to perceive you. And that is huge when you're networking and connecting. And thank you, Linda. Linda just reminded me I needed to pick a couple of folks for a co-host here. So I will do that. Linda keeps me straight. So just in case I get bumped off, somebody can let me back in through the waiting room. So anyway, the long and the short of it is take a few moments and think about, before we go around the room, think about if you were going to create one sentence, and it can be personal, it can be professional, it could be something that you like to do, it could be a hobby, it could be just being who it is that you want to be. And so think for a minute, if you could fill in the blanks, that I am blank. Who does blank for whom? So I am a passive income mentor, and I help folks create passive income so that they can make their day job optional. Punching a time clock, optional. So that's who I am. So I am Kathy Benner, who does passive income mentor for folks who want to make their day job optional. So it's just a little formula. So think about that for just a moment. And I know a couple of you on here already know what that is, because I teach a class called Build a Better Business. And in our Build a Better Business, we are going through all the steps of building a better business. So if anybody on this call actually has a business, and it doesn't matter what the business is, it could be anything. And I know some of the folks on here. So it could be anything from selling online courses to selling real estate, to selling travel, to selling essential oils, to selling a book, to selling a coaching program. Doesn't matter what it is you're selling. You can sell candles out of your garage. Doesn't matter. But if anybody here is in the market of creating a business where you are an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, check out my Build a Better Business. You can find it on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, and we also have a meetup.com group. And the meetup.com, if you've not been on Meetup, it's real easy to see all the events and click through to get the Zoom code. You can also find me at kathybenner.com. And I will put that in the chat, and that's where you will find all of these courses as well. So if anybody is interested, I have that going on. So let me type that in, and you can see my name here in my little Hollywood squares to see the spelling, but it's just kathybenner.com, and that'll give you all that information. So that was my little intro as far as who I am and what I do, and it kind of gives you a whole overview. I'm doing this connecting and networking group for free. I do free meetups every Monday, so it's part of who I am giving back. It kind of encompasses that word mentor, where I'm trying to give back and serve more. And so that is actually my word for the year, is to serve. And so that's what I want to do. Now, for those of you that have any type of spiritual background or realm, or and whatever that means for you, because again, we won't talk about religion. That's a whole other topic. But whether you're thinking of religion, or whether you're thinking of energy work, or whether you're thinking of, you know, the universe, it's whatever that means for you. What I know, one of the universal truths, is that whatever it is that you give, you get back. And so here's my lesson for the day. Here's my aha moment for everybody that's on the call today. Whatever you need, whatever pops into your head, the first thing that you really, really need is what you have to give. So if you need more time, you have to give time. If you need more money, you have to give money. If you need a car, you have to give a car. If you need friends, you've heard this one. If you need friends, you have to be a friend. So whatever it is that you need, you have to give. And what I know is it will come back to you, and I believe it'll come back to you tenfold. And so I love folks to help me. I'm a helper. For those of you, any of you that have ever read the book, The Five Love Languages, and you ponder, you know, what your love language is, I am definitely the helps person. I definitely want to help. So being a mentor is right up my alley, because it allows me to do what I love to do the most. And what happens then is that everybody talks back to me in my own love language, because I like to help. And so now everybody is like, Kathy, how can we help you? You helped us so much, because whatever I give comes back tenfold. So just so you know, that's how it works. That's just a universal law, whether we agree with it or not. That's just the way it is. And so I am now going to go around, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot. And so I'm going to ask you, and it looks like everyone here is on their computer. I don't see anybody that maybe is on their phone, except maybe I can't tell from Jennifer. But everybody else, it looks like they're on their computer instead of their phone. At the bottom of your screen, you see a raised hand button. And so raise your hand if you would like to share what it is that you do or who you are. And I know some of you, we've already, like I said, done this over in the Build a Better Business course. And so I know some of you are prepared. So, Sally, go ahead and unmute yourself and give us your, I'll call it your little 30-second commercial, your little value proposition statement. Who are you to the world?
My name is Sally Sutter. I'm the owner of Mermaid Travel, and I help people live their dreams.
Ooh, I like that. Live their dreams. I like that one. That's great. That is great. Sally, I gotta find you here so I can lower your hand. There it is. Okay. Ruth, how about you?
I am Ruth Maxwell. That's my maiden name. I am Ruth Pierce. And I like to help people take their relationships that are struggling to the next level.
Okay. You see how that just shares with the whole group what she is bringing to the table. She helps you with relationships. And so what happens now is that everyone in the room is kind of like, oh boy, I need Ruth because I need help with a relationship that I'm struggling with somewhere. And I need Sally because yeah, I've got some travel dreams I want to fulfill. So right away you start to see who you can connect with, and you see by the way they share what they do and who they are, it helps the whole room know how to connect with them. And it makes you feel a certain way about that person. And so that's my whole point, is that you can actually help people feel about you the way you want them to feel about you by the way you introduce yourself. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Linda. You're on mute, sweetie.
I'm trying this one on for size for my over everything company. I'm Linda Thomas, founder of I Choose Abundance. I in inspire people to expand in love, creativity, and abundance.
Okay. Now,
I like it.
I love that, and it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy toward you, but I hesitate to really know what that means. I know what it means because I know you, but if you were using that in a room of folks that do not know you at all, they might go, what does that actually mean?
And I
So,
do have another one. I have to pull it up.
okay. Yes, Ruth.
This is for Linda.
Yeah.
Is it the type of thing that I would lean in and ask you? Or would it turn me off and say, I don't want to hear more because you may be going to places I don't want to know?
Oh, like, is it going to be like too woo-woo and weird, and that's not how you roll like that?
Right. It could be either way. Now, for me, I would say, what do you mean by that?
And that's a helpful way for someone to respond if they're not sure. But I have the one that I use in my magazine bio is a little bit more specific, and I don't know that I can pull that up quickly enough. It has the idea of helping people live their best lives filled with time freedom, financial freedom, vibrant relationships, things like that. That's a little bit more something that you could hang your hat on.
My gut is that it's a combination of those two.
Yeah, and then you play with the length, right?
Right. Depending on the situation.
What you don't want to have happen is you don't want people looking for the exit door. I've been to some networking events where I've gone into a room full of folks, and of course everybody's, they're carrying around their little foo-foo drink, and and you're at this networking event. Maybe it's for business or maybe it's a Christmas party and it's all social, but for whatever reason, somebody latches onto you and you start trying to find a way to separate yourself from them because they just want to keep trying to get you to agree with whatever it is they're saying. They're trying to generate a fan club, and it actually is more of a turnoff. Instead of you leaning in, you're leaning out. You're like, okay, I gotta get away from this guy. So be careful with making it. I don't want to say muddy, but be careful from making it something that folks totally don't understand, or something that you could make incredibly clear, but you just have never thought to make it incredibly clear before. Like sometimes I'll ask somebody, "Oh, what is it you do?" And they'll say, "Oh, I'm an attorney." A divorce attorney, a criminal attorney, a real estate attorney, you know, and just by adding a little bit more to that phrase would make what they do so much more clear. And then if they had a little tagline, you know, like I'm a real estate attorney, I help folks, you know, take care of putting properties into trust or, you know, whatever it is, maybe that is their specialty. So sometimes you can just clean that up. So easy. Yes, Ruth.
This is again for Linda, but the term that came to my mind when we were talking about that, I love the word abundance, but that mm-hmm. can be woohoo for, you know, like what we were talking about, but mm-hmm. could you use something like abundance in practical terms?
Like that phrase or?
Yeah, or play with that one, you know, okay. So that it gets abundance from up here down to here.
Okay.
Define, I guess what I hear Ruth saying is somehow define in your description what abundance means to you.
So I'll have to play with that. But when you said in practical terms, that sounds vague too. But what if you said abundance in real life or, you know, yeah, so I'm going to play with that. Thank you. And I had a comment also. Good, my hand is down. In regard to what you were saying, Kathy, about, you know, when you say I'm an attorney, it reminds me of a pet peeve of mine. And I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's feet here. But there are times where you're in any kind of a situation and you have someone who speaks very softly or softly and fast or softly and fast and doesn't enunciate. And I'm going to say it pisses me off. And so I don't want to be that person when I'm saying what I do. Cause like, if I said I'm an attorney, now it's your job to find out what kind of attorney I am when I could have told you. So all this boils down to consideration. So I'm going to be playing with that. Thank you.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And again, we don't want to make it hard for the person that is meeting us to get to know us. We want to make it easy for them to get this picture of who we are, because that's what's going to help the conversation go further. That's what's going to make folks want to lean in a little bit. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to jump over to Carmela. Here's what I'm going to tell you is as you work on this, you and as you think, because your first step is to think, how do I want folks to perceive me? What do I want folks to think of me? And when you put that first, when you're putting together your, I'll call it your pitch, when you put together your VPS, your value proposition statement, that 30-second commercial, that networking sentence you're going to use, it's all the same thing. When you think first about how you want people to perceive you, you start to become the person that you want them to think of you. You start to become that person. So it's going to make a difference in your world on who you are, because the more you want folks to think of you a certain way, the more you're going to start being that way. Does that make sense? It's what comes first, you know, the chicken or the egg. We hear that all the time. What comes first? Well, I think you have to start thinking about who it is that you want to be and who it is that you're becoming, then start putting together that sentence on how you're going to introduce yourself. Now, I can use the same sentence, whether it be business or in a personal environment. Even if I'm at a Christmas party, I can still say, oh, I'm Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income mentor. I help folks learn how to create passive income so that their day job's optional. And I can use that in all the situations. Now, I can tailor make that a little bit depending on my audience. If I'm actually a speaker, somebody has asked me to be a speaker for something, even if it's a church group, I have to look and see, well, who is my audience? If I'm talking to a bunch of real estate professionals, I might phrase that a little differently. If I'm talking to a bunch of housewives, I might phrase that a little differently. If I'm talking to a bunch of new moms, I might phrase that a little differently, because I'm going to tailor that to my audience, because I want them to feel comfortable and I want them to connect with me. I want them to lean in. I don't want them to be the person that's leaning out. Carmela, I'm going to jump over to you. What is your comment?
Well, my name is Carmela Banks, and I am a wellness advocate for doTERRA essential oils, and I empower people to create a healthy, vibrant, purpose-filled lives for themselves using natural solutions. I wear many hats, but that's my main goal, my main job, I should say, outside of working for my husband, too. So that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I do.
I love that. I love that. So that helps you know that Carmela cares. See, right away when she says that, you're like, oh, she really cares. She cares about health. She cares about wellness. She cares about the environment because of the essential oils. See, it just tells you so much about Carmela just because of how she introduced herself. So, Ruth, back to you.
This is just a comment on what you were talking about, Kathy, about we become who we want to become. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is our demeanor. You know, it was a couple years ago that I met some new people online and stuff, and they told me I just had such a calmness, which I did not recognize that I had. But it's something that I've developed over the years. And that is something that we bring. So think about even those traits like that, what you want to bring forth to the people that you're going to be talking to, or you're the people you're going to be working with. And one that's pretty obvious is confidence. Mm-hmm. We all want to build our confidence. And so that confidence comes through no matter who we're talking to or what we're doing.
Now, Ruth, you're all about relationships. And so I do have a question for you in the confidence realm. How, if you don't feel confident, I'm going to get off on this, but I'm going to jump over to Miriam before we go down this other path. But sometimes, depending on what we're doing, whether it's in business or just a personal definition of ourselves, sometimes we have that imposter syndrome. Sometimes we think everybody else is better than us, or everybody else is smarter than us, or everybody else is doing better than us. And so we have a tendency when we introduce ourselves that we almost are apologizing. Oh, I'm just a housewife, or I'm just a nail tech, or I'm just a teacher. If you're in a room full of attorneys, you might feel like you're just a teacher. Well, guess what? All those attorneys owe their career to all their teachers. So my point is that sometimes we have to overcome that feeling that we have this imposter syndrome, that everybody is somehow doing better than we are. Ruth, can you speak to that? How do we get our confidence in who we are?
I might just hijack this. They'll pull me back if I'm going too long.
Yeah, and I don't want to forget Miriam. I want to jump over to Miriam.
Do you want Miriam to speak first?
Yeah, let me jump over to Miriam and then we'll come back to you. Miriam, what is your comment?
Hi, lovely to meet all of you. My name is Miriam Abadas, and I help people protect what matters most to them. And I eliminate the what ifs that keep people up at night.
Now, again, I love that. And that tells me, And of course, I'm a helper. So I'm like, oh, she wants to help me. So I'm going to lean in, see, because you're speaking my language. But I'm not sure what it is you're going to help me with.
Okay. Well, I guess it would depend on who I'm talking to. But I'd say I'd help people protect what matters most to them, whether it be their household, so their family, their house, or their business. I help people get rid of the what ifs that keep them up at night. I work for New York Life. Maybe I should add that. Maybe that's going to connect the dots.
Yeah. You can say that at the top of your introduction,
yeah,
that I am blank, I work for blank, and yeah, I help people.
Yeah.
And so that would frame it so everybody would know what it is that you help them with.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. I love that. Okay. Anybody else want to share before we jump back over to Ruth?
I have a comment for Miriam. Just by adding the New York Life piece at the front, it removes a whole lot of the swirl in the mind of the other person, because the things that you do could go a whole lot of different directions based on that description, which does sound helpful, but the listener isn't quite sure what to make of it. But I intuited that it might be something relating to insurance, but I wasn't sure either. But I think by putting that piece in there, you're not really pigeonholing yourself, but you're helping somebody to know that you're bringing the caring piece to the insurance piece, if that makes sense.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I was kind of balancing between being too explicit and boring and not giving a people room to ask more, and then being too vague that they're like, I don't want to ask. I appreciate
no,
that.
I get it. A lot of times though, and you have to also think of this, when you enter a room, and again, whether it be a business or whether it be, you know, a personal retirement party or Christmas party or whatever, the person has a conversation already going on in their heads. They already have their own issues and they already have their own problems, and, you know, and it's whatever they're thinking of last is how they're going to connect what you said. And if you say, oh, you know, I help and I solve the problems that keep you up at night, I'm like, oh, you're going to come and clean my house? That's what's keeping me up at night. Now, that's a funny example. But the point is that the person has their own little, you know, thing going on in their own brain. And so they're going to immediately connect what you said to what they have going on. And then, like Linda said, they're going to try to sort out, okay, what is it she really does? And again, you don't want people to lean away. And I see where you're coming from, though. If you start with life insurance, your fear, I would think, is that you're afraid that maybe people are going to think, oh, my gosh, she's going to try to sell me life insurance. Let me get out of the room. And yeah. So I would think on that, and maybe change up your introduction. And again, I'm just going to toss this out here, something for you to play around with. Maybe change up your introduction on, you know, I'm Miriam. I work for this life insurance company. And most recently, I helped this family and by doing XYZ. Now, all of a sudden, you're just telling a story and how you helped this family, which is going to help the person you're meeting connect in their minds, oh, she helps families. See, it's gonna paint that picture that you're here to help families. You're not here to sell life insurance. Is that helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the terms that how I usually do this in a networking event, as I'd say, I'm a financial professional and I help with like a variety of financial needs for households and businesses, which I think makes it seem more like I'm you know, consultant more than a salesperson. Uh-huh. So sometimes uh-huh. that's something that I use. But no, I appreciate that advice. Thank you.
Yeah. And in the Build a Better Business program, which several of you on this call is in that program, one of the things we talk about in our second session is our storytelling, how to weave our story into what it is that we do, because our storytelling is our marketing. That's what makes people connect because they can relate to those stories. So Elise, how about you? What is your comment?
I loved everything that was going on, and I wanted to share my VPS. I had worked on it and see how it went. My name is Elise. I'm a publishing assistant who builds the mundane so creatives can focus on the money.
Oh, I've got a lot of mundanes in my life, and I would love to focus more on the money. Yes, I love that. Yep, that helps. Yep, I like that. Linda, back to you.
I was unmuted. Okay. To Miriam, I was thinking about Donald Miller. I don't know if everyone here knows who he is, but he helps business owners kind of tell a story about who they are and what they do to connect more readily with potential customers, clients, et cetera. And something that he did in an exercise that was basically like an elevator pitch was to tell a story with something like, you know how dot, 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 and it makes you feel dot, 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 well, I dot, dot, dot. And he used an example of a guy with a lawn care company. And he would say, well, you know how, like, when you're working overtime and you don't have time to mow your lawn, and then you start feeling like, you know, the neighbors are going to be all over you and you're embarrassed when people come to visit because your yard is the worst one on the block. Well, I help people. And so you're actually dealing with the concern that the person has, not the blades of grass. It's how the ever-growing grass makes you feel. And so you might be able to play with that staying up at night and the worries of about X or Y, and while I help people do Z, it could be something you could play with in certain, maybe not, maybe, but I don't know. I was going to say, like, if you were at a picnic, you know, a potluck or something, it's a real easy way to break into it without sounding hardcore insurancey. Mm-hmm. But even at a networking thing, people might be relieved to have you be super normal mm-hmm. as well.
Linda, I love that. Don Miller does Story Brand, if anybody wants to look him up. And he does a whole story brand. He's got a whole academy and everything on Story Brand. And that is one of the things he teaches, is to make everything a story, because your storytelling is your marketing. Yes, I love that. Anyone else want to share how they introduce themselves before we go down the path of what happens when you feel less than or a little bit of an imposter syndrome? Anybody else want to share?
Kathy, I want to say something to Miriam too.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
And that is, I know our insurance agent, we have built enough of a relationship with them that we're very comfortable that they don't oversell us. And so if you could bring that into it somehow, like that I help you provide the insurance that you really need. That's just a short phrase that came to my mind. It means it says that you're not going to make me buy more or try to talk me into buying more that I need.
Maybe using terms like I'm a trusted advisor is, I think, another term that, you know, kind of represents what we do, is we work with our clients for the duration of their life to make sure that they're protected in every single part of it, rather than I'm trying to sell you one thing and then wham bam, thank you ma'am, we're off in our different directions. I'm a trusted advisor and you can trust me, and I work with people that you trust as well. Perhaps
that trusted advisor phrase, I've heard it so much, it goes like that.
Oh, really?
It
sounds like a sales gimmick.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You use the phrase trusted advisor because again, so many people put that in their ad copy. And I think I agree with Ruth. I think making it even a little more personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can trust me to help you evaluate the insurance you need.
Yeah.
Something along that line.
Yeah. That makes sense. Thank you.
Anyone else? I love this. I feel like we really have gotten to know a lot of folks on the call already, and some of you haven't shared yet. So the ones that have not shared, you don't feel like you have to have this all polished. I'm just going to ask you to unmute and tell us who you are and where you're coming to us from. Again, I'm Kathy, and I am coming from Canal Winchester, Ohio, right outside of Columbus, Ohio. Christy, where are you?
I am Christy Hawkins, and I am coming to you from Newark, Ohio.
Okay, so Central Ohio as well. Elena, how about you?
My name is Elena Dave Duke, and I am from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
I'm a corporate accountant, so I don't really have a tagline.
You say you do or you don't?
No. No, I've got to work on my personal brand. I've had to do some career changes. I've been in accounting for over 12 years. I've worked with a lot of small businesses, but now I'm in the corporate side again.
Okay. Okay. Mm. What is it that you love to do when you're not working?
Well, up to this point in my life, I've just been taking care of my family, but I'm work planning on going back to school to finish my BA. So.
Okay. Okay. I love it. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Miriam, where are you coming to us from?
I am currently located in Chicago.
Okay, good. Oh, one of my favorite cities. I love big cities. Are you right in the city?
I'm in South Loop. Yeah, I'm right downtown. I can see the whole lake and everything right from my apartment. It's amazing.
I love it. I love it. Okay, I'm jealous. Linda, where are you coming to us from?
I am coming from Washington, Pennsylvania. And for those that don't know, I'm basically halfway between Pittsburgh and the Ohio line. So
I love it.
Reasonably close to you all.
Yeah. Ruth, where are you coming to us from?
I might be the outlier. I'm in Kansas, close to Lawrence, Kansas.
I love it. I love it. Elise?
I am in Reynoldsburg, Ohio.
Elise is only about 10 minutes from me in Canal Winchester. She's in a suburb and I'm in a suburb. Carmela, how about you?
I'm coming to you from Lima, Ohio. I'm in Northwest Ohio, like right in the middle of Columbus, Detroit, Cincinnati, all the big cities.
Yeah, so you're what, an hour and a half?
An hour and a half from everybody.
Yeah. Debbie, how about you?
I am 7 miles from Buckeye Lake. That would be
just
of
east of Columbus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sally?
I'm coming from you to you from Canal Winchester. I'm I don't live in the village, but I'm very close to Kathy.
Yeah. Sally and I are about, I don't know, 5 minutes apart. And Ada, I know you were kind of just listening in. Do you want to share where you're coming to us from? You're welcome to that. Or if you're just listening, you're welcome to do that as well. And then we have Jennifer. And Jennifer, would you want to share where you're coming to us from? And again, if you're hiding, that's okay too.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I can share. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I am in, my name's Jennifer, and I'm in Mason, Ohio, which is like by Kings Island.
Yep. I do a big real estate conference down there every year.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah.
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 Well, welcome everyone. Now we're going to circle back to Ruth. And Ruth, you said you were going to talk a little bit about when we feel like everyone in the room is way ahead of us. And I think we all have had that feeling at some time. I still get that feeling when I walk into a room. I love, again, I'm all about passive income and I love investing in real estate. And Christy knows me personally in the whole real estate realm. And when I'm in a room of some big time investors, I have a tendency to kind of become a wallflower because I feel like everyone else is so far out there ahead of me. And when Elise is into real estate with me as well. And so when I get into a room of the big boys, I do feel less than. So Ruth, what are your thoughts on that?
And we could go so many different ways on this, but I do want to say, even though I'm completely away from all you guys, my mom grew up in Ohio. And I actually had an aunt and uncle and cousins that lived in Lima, by the way. And I have all kinds of cousins still in the Columbus area. And yes, my mom graduated from OSU. So it's in my background. But yes, when we think about not feeling like we're enough, and we all have those feelings. In fact, one of my mentors said it this way. Every one of us has feelings where we don't feel like we are enough or we don't have enough. And those are the things you need to look at. But then I had another mentor that recently I've been doing a lot with, and he calls these false identities. And not just those, but any of them. So I encourage each one on this call to take a look at anything that you're saying about yourself that is negative. and label that a false identity. It could be the two that we already talked about. I don't consider myself having enough. And that could be anything. It could be enough money. It could be enough education. It could be enough time. It could be any of those things. Or I don't have enough. It's very similar. Have you ever used the phrase with yourself, I'm so dumb? I'm so stupid? Those are false identities. So you may don't go on a witch hat forum, but as those things come up to you, deny them and say, that's not true. I'm not going to allow that to be in my life. Another book that, well, I haven't mentioned books, but some of these are books, but a book that meant a lot to me, and some of you guys have already heard me talk about it already, and I read it about a couple years ago, and I don't know why it took me so long to get this concept in my head, but it did. So that's all right. But love yourself like your life depends on it. And I thought that I appreciated myself to some degree. I valued myself. I loved myself. But it wasn't until I read that book, and I'll be honest with you, that book wasn't anything super special, but it has touched my life, and it's touched, I want to say, millions of others, because it's just a down-to-earth practical book. And some of the things that he does, that he says to Lou, is look yourself in the eye, in the mirror every day and say, I love you. I don't think he uses the word I value you. I think that's something I added on to it. But you do, you have to really love and value yourself. So those false identities have no place in your life. In fact, one of the sayings that I've realized from some of the stuff that I've worked on, because this is the first principle in some of the stuff that I teach, but the degree in which you love and value yourself creates the thermostat for how high all your other relationships can go.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, that is so powerful. And so I want to give you another tip. I'm going to go back to one of the things that I said at the very beginning. Whatever it is that you think about yourself that you're lacking, give that to someone else. If you say, oh, I don't have enough money, help somebody else that you know doesn't have enough money. If you say, oh, I don't have enough time to make that happen in my life, then give some time. If you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm not attractive enough, then help somebody else be more attractive, because you'll realize right away that I am enough. I have so much. I have so much to be enough and have enough that I can give some of it away.
That's true.
And when you do that, it will change your entire feeling about yourself.
And along with that, you're going to gain confidence in what you do have to offer. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, this same guy that talked about false identities, he also talked about real identities and true identities. And your true identity is who you are at your very, very basic core and what you bring to the world. And that's a lot about what we're talking about right here. That is our statement, or whatever that we want to call it. It's what do I have to offer the world? And it combines your passions, your experiences, and everything else that have meshed together in your life that you can help other people be. It is who you are. It's even including your core traits on what you want to be. Like if integrity is important to you, then that's one of those that you're not going to let anybody mess with. Now, I will say this, that a lot of times our core values are given to us by other people, and they may no longer serve us.
And that's so a tough one. Because sometimes what I've heard this phrase before, that when you're growing up, it's not always what's taught, it's what's caught. And so sometimes we take on a core value from our parents or from our family members, right, however we were brought up, grandparents, whoever raised us, to believe that something is super, super important because it was important to them and they instilled that on us. And so we carry that into our adult lives, that for some reason this is important. And sometimes we have to be able to separate ourselves from some of that thinking and evaluate it on our own and say, is this, like Ruth said, it may not serve you as an adult. And you might have to ask yourself, is this something that I need to change my opinion about? And we can do that. We can do that.
Yeah. I think of Linda when I say this next one, that if we were brought up in poverty, then sometimes it's hard to even think about the abundance mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going on rabbit trails, and so whatever resonates with people, we'll go with that. But a lot of times, I'm just going to use the poverty one because it's something we can see, but it's lots of different things. And that is, we'll make a vow that I'm never going to go without all the clothes I want. In other words, I'm gonna buy all the shoes I want because I've only had one pair of shoes. You know, that's an extreme, but you know what I mean. And Kathy, I think you and I talked about this earlier in another call. But that vow will mean something to you, and it can be different things. And it honestly doesn't serve you. So if you have one of those vows, it's probably keeping you from something else. It may be even keeping you from fear. I don't know. So that's another encouragement that I give to you, is take time to look at anything that you've vowed from your childhood. I know mine, and I consider myself a relationship person, a relationship maximizer. And recently I realized that the vow had to do with relationships, that I wasn't going to put myself in a situation where I was going to get hurt again. And we may all do that to some degree.
And so you build that wall, and it really is not mm-hmm. serving you to have that wall mm-hmm. up.
Henry Cloud and John Townsend wrote a book years ago called Boundaries. And this is just one key part in that book. But he says, a good boundary has a gate, so that you can let the good in and keep the bad out.
I love that. Ruth, that is powerful. We were talking about mindset and feeling not enough. And even though I have worked really hard, and most of you on this call, or many of you on this call, know my backstory, where when we're talking about abundance or lack of abundance, you know, I struggled in my early years financially quite a bit. And so even now, when just normal workday things happen, I catch myself immediately reverting back to that mindset almost on autopilot. And I'll give you an example. This month I had two vacancies. My income is 100% now real estate. It's buy and hold houses, you know, people renting from me, and I own the house. Well, I'm constantly doing upkeep on these houses. And so what a lot of renters don't see is that I'm paying for entire roofs. I'm paying for entire furnace installations. I'm paying for, today I've got a hot water tank that went out in a unit. And so my guy's putting in a hot water tank. And you know what? Doesn't matter what it costs. I have to give the guy hot water. So it doesn't matter what the bill is going to be. And it's going to be high. But you know what? I have to bite the bullet, and I have to spend the money, because that's my commitment to my tenants, is to make sure they have a nice place to live. And so I have a lot bigger bills than what a lot of renters have. You know, they're paying the rent, but I'm putting on, you know, $20,000 roofs and $6,000 furnaces and, $2,000 hot water tanks. And so anyway, I had two vacancies that came up this month at the same time. I had two tenants give me their notice. One was buying a house, and I have to be happy for her. She's buying a house, of all things. You know, this is going to be a great place for her to be, is in her own home and not be renting an apartment. And the second one was a gentleman who had taken a job offer in Texas. And so he said, I can't turn it down. It's an amazing offer. So he put in his notice that he was leaving. He was still going to continue to rent in Texas, but he had to go where this job offer took them. And even though on one hand, I was happy for both of them, he got the great job, she was buying her own, her first house, I immediately fell into the mindset of scarcity. And I didn't have a panic attack, but I genuinely felt physically the anxiety of having two empty units at the same time, knowing that I'm paying for roofs and furnaces and hot water tanks, and I was going to be down. And I'll just use some round numbers. Let's say that each of those units rents for $1,000 a month. I was going to be down $2,000, and then both of them get their deposits back of $1,000. So now I'm down $4,000, and now I have to go in and maybe paint these units and get them ready for a new tenant. So now I'm down another couple. All of a sudden, I was down $10,000 in 30 days. And so my first reaction was to panic. It was like, oh my gosh, I got two vacancies at the same time. What am I going to do? And I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, Kathy, you are smart enough. You have put all of your systems in place. You've done the work. You know that you know how to handle this. It's going to work out. Let the systems do their job. Let the systems you put in place do their job. Do not let this affect your health, feeling like you're less than, that you don't have this handled. You have it handled. You've done all the back work. You've become the person that you want to become. You are giving these folks a wonderful place to live. You want it to be nice. You're doing all the right stuff for all the right reasons. And God is going to honor that. And I had in my lease, one of the systems was that I could immediately show the space as soon as I got a notice. So I had an open house in each space. I went through, I did the work. I sorted through the applications that were coming in. I did the background checks. I chose the top two folks. I made them the offer. They both said yes. Both leases have been signed and both units are going to be occupied. Are you ready for this? With 0 days in between rent. 0 days. And I let the systems do their job. But my immediate reaction was to panic. And so with that, I think that's what Ruth is talking about, is that you have to look at yourself in the mirror and you have to say, I'm smart enough to figure this out. I'm good enough. I've done the back work. I am the person that I want to be. And I am giving. I gave both tenants, I gave more than I'm taking. I'm giving both of them, they're both moving in today. And I'm giving them both a free several days for free. Because the more I give, the more I get. The more I give, the more comes back to me. And I don't have to force it. It's an automatic universal law that the more I give, the more I get. So I immediately gave more to both of these brand new tenants, and they can't believe that they get to move in and their rent doesn't start until Friday. So anyway, so that's my example of what happened to me this week. Anyone else? Comments? Linda?
There we go. So it's so interesting how you said that just the natural reverting to the old patterns, you know, and I mean, you are such a can-do lady and you've proven it over and over and over again. Like, you're just amazing. And so I think, In a way, it's encouraging to those of us who haven't achieved all the things you have to say, well, you know, any of us can feel less than at any particular moment. And one of the things that has been accumulating in my awareness, I'll say, from things that I listen to is that, you know, literally your thoughts become your reality. So you want to carefully curate the thoughts that you allow to stay, you know? And so you did quickly address what was trying to creep in, and you said, no, wait a minute. That's what you said. That's not true. You know? And the self-talk, we talk to ourselves more than we talk to anyone else. And we would never let other people get away with the kind of garbage that we drop on our own selves. And so one of my daily affirmations is that I carefully curate my thoughts because I know that they are and become my reality.
And sometimes, and I'll add to that, sometimes it comes down to simply having faith in yourself. When I looked in the mirror and said, Kathy, come on, you know, you are smart enough. You've put all your systems in place. You've done all the back work. You know that if you just work your systems, that everything's going to be fine. And so when I talk to myself like that, it does make a difference. It does make a difference on how you feel. And I had the faith that I know I give more. I know I do that. That is who I've decided I want to be. And I know that I do that. And I know and have faith that whatever I give, I'm going to get. And so at the end of the day, when I didn't have a tenant yet, I didn't have a signed lease yet, I had to go to sleep that night with the faith that I've done all the right stuff. And I know I've done all the right stuff. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be great. It's going to work out beautifully. And by the way, for those of you that are in the rental space business, I gave myself a raise in between that, because after those folks moved out, I raised the rent and I advertised it at a higher dollar amount. So I actually gave myself a raise. So it was actually a win. So Ruth.
This is really good conversation, guys. But whenever you're talking about changing the way you think or anything involved with personal growth, you're going to have dips where you go backwards. And that's okay. Expect them. Don't put yourself on a guilt trip. Your goal is to have the dips be shorter and not as long, so you come back up quicker. Think of it like the stock market. We know the stock market has dips. But as long as the overall trajectory is like this, we're okay. And you are too. So pat yourself on the back and say, yeah, I'm good. I had another thought, but I lost it. So
I love it. Yes, Linda.
There was something that I wanted to mention earlier, but I was just waiting for a moment when it could make a little sense. And I think it ties in with what you were saying, Kathy, which basically boiled down to fear. I don't think you actually use that word, but that's what it is. It's in the pit of your stomach and it feels awful. And I don't know. I feel like maybe women are more prone to that. I've spent so many years in fear and overwhelm based on wild stuff that was going on in my life. And I've actually said that I've gone like decades without breathing. You know, you exhale and you just leave yourself empty with no air. And then maybe eventually you let a little air back in. And that's been my reality through a number of experiences. And I recently heard a quote that made total sense to me. And that is, fear is excitement without the breath. And really fear and excitement can feel kind of the same, like butterflies. Mm-hmm. And one we put a negative feeling or attribution to, and one we view as more positive. But if you have excitement, you're breathing, you're like, oh, wow. And, you know, you see something beautiful when you pull in your breath. And when we're full of fear, the air goes out and doesn't come back in. So I've been really emphasizing taking deep, filling breaths. And, you know, it's a journey, but it's been really valuable for me to focus more and more on that.
That's a great point. I love that. One time I was worried about something. I don't remember. Oh, I know. I was in the salon industry and one of my girls was leaving and my finances were right to the wire. And I knew that once she left and her booth rent left the salon, that I was going to struggle even making my mortgage payment. And I had a great friend tell me, he said, the universe can't fill a hole until there is one. He said, so breathe. It's going to be okay. And it worked out, and it, you know, and those things always do. And when you look back, Linda, even over all the things that you were holding your breath over, they all worked out at some level. And you're still here and you're beautiful and your message is beautiful and you're going strong and it all worked out, but we sometimes can't see that at the time. So I appreciate that. Carmela.
This has all been really good. And the piggyback on what Linda said about fear, that's always been like a big thing, like in the pit of my stomach. And I've learned to grow that, you know, because I've always compared myself, you know, to the simple fact, well, they're a little bit better than me. And I don't know why I always had this fear that I couldn't do it and I wasn't good. But then sometimes, you know, it seems like women that I've come in contact with, there's always a competition. And sometimes even in the same arena, instead of working together and like helping each other, because you may have things that I don't have, I may have some things that you don't have that, you know, we can work together. But it's been a tough task for me. And even almost like Ruth, but a lot of times I'm talking to myself in the mirror. You know, my husband think I'm going crazy, but it's like, Carmela, you got this, you know, just take a couple deep breaths, count to 10, and you can do this. And I think you helped me, because one of the things was even writing the articles. My biggest thing was, oh my gosh, you agreed to this with Kathy and Carmela.
For those of you that don't know what she's talking about, we have a magazine and Carmela is one of our, Linda's one, Ruth is one, Debbie is one, Sally is one. Anyhow, we have a magazine and I invited a lot of my folks to be staff writers, and that's what Carmela's talking about. So go ahead, Carmela.
But I thought, what did I do? I can't do this. I'm not going to have anything. But you know what? It's just been so inspiring. And then, you know, I've shared it and people are like, well, I didn't know you wrote things like this. I didn't know you had a passion for this. And it's like, okay, you know, thank you for bringing this. But it's like, you know, even at my age, you know, I can do this, but I've always been walking that fear, afraid to, you know, put my right foot forward and go and do things, you know, where I have the talent or I have the gift to do this. I just need to do it. And, you know, everything falls into place. So I'm still learning lessons, even at 55.
We all are. And again, it's who we are becoming, and we're growing into ourselves. We all have this vision of who we want ourselves to be and what we want our lives to look like. And I think we're all growing in, you know, we have to fill our own shoes, you know, that own vision that we have for ourselves. So yes, I appreciate that. Carmela is actually my co-host, my co-mod for this particular connecting and networking. And she is my co-host. And she also was our featured writer in our last magazine edition. So Carmela, thank you for that. Anyone else? We're coming up to the top of the hour, a little past, but we're going to close out here in just a moment. Linda, go ahead. Oh, you're on mute.
Hey, I was worried about putting my hand down. I just had a comment for Carmela. Even though you're at the ripe old age of 55, Grandma Moses didn't start painting in earnest till she was 78. So there's plenty of runway for all of us.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Now, one of the things that we want to do, because we are connecting and networking, is if everybody I think here is on their computer instead of their phone. On your phone is always a little harder, but put into the chat how folks can connect with you or what your main message is. I'm just going to put in again, mykathybinner.com. And for those of you, and make sure it's clicked to everyone, not just a host and panelist. Maybe we can only do, I see where it just came out, the host and panelists. I'm going to take Sally's and I'm going to re-put that over in for everyone so everybody can see that. When you see the three little dots next to, at least came out to everyone. When you see the three little dots over in the corner where it says more next to where somebody put something in the chat, if you click, it may or may not. Does it allow you to save there?
I see a save chat option.
Okay, if you have a save chat option, you can save the chat there. And that way you can save what folks are putting in there. But make sure that you click it out to everyone. So feel free to share what it is that you do. And does anybody have, as we're doing that, does anybody have any aha moments? Jennifer, I'm going to copy yours again here. It looks like it went to the host and panelists. I'm going to make sure it gets out to everyone. Does anybody have an aha moment for the call today? What was your one big aha moment? Anyone?
Aha for today would have to be just not operating in a lack mindset, which is equivalent to fear, thinking and keeping your mindset on the possibilities is always going to create more opportunities for you.
That's a great aha moment. Anyone else? And did everyone get a chance to share in the chat? We've got Carmela and Debbie, Jennifer, Miriam, Elise, Sally. Linda, did you get in there?
I'm just making showing now.
Oh, Linda, I got you in there. Yep. I just want to make sure, did everybody get to share?
I had a question. Chat. How often do you guys meet? It was absolutely lovely talking to all of you and hearing what everyone had to say. And I would love to be able to meet you guys again. How often do you guys get together?
Well, first of all, whatever Zoom link that you got into this call, save it. And for those of you that are still on the call, if you click the little green clear up in your upper left corner, it will show you the webinar ID there and the invite link. Make sure that you save that. You can copy and paste it and save that. And we are on every Monday at noon. This particular call is only on the fourth Monday of every month for the connecting and networking, but we are on every Monday at noon in one form or another. And it's everything from building a better business to authoring a book, being a writer, to real estate investing. All for me, it's all about passive income. It's all the different ways that you can create cash flow without having to punch a time clock. And so I'm on every Monday at noon, but definitely the fourth Monday of every month for this particular call.
Got it. Thank you.
Miriam, did you have an aha moment today? Did something stand out for you?
You said something in particular, which was you can't fill a hole until there is one. And that was, I don't know, it really got me thinking of like having a problem is not the problem. That just means that there's now room for a solution to move forward. That's not going to be the end of the road. It just means you have a chance to fill it. And I really appreciated that.
Yes, that was huge for me too. And a good friend of mine told me that. So that was huge for me. Yeah. Okay, I think everybody's had a chance to share. So make sure that you save the chat so that you can connect with folks. If anybody said anything that resonated with you today and you want to connect with them outside this call, please do. That's the whole point, is to build connections and relationships with each other. And I appreciate everybody being here today. And so again, save the Zoom link. Once you register, you don't have to keep registering. It's the same Zoom link. We'll get you into every call on Mondays at noon. So anybody have any? Yes, Debbie, did you have something you wanted to say? Nope, she's just waving. Okay. All right, everybody. We'll see everybody next time. Thank you so much for being on today. Bye. Have a great week.